Thousands gathered in Mexico City's main square over the weekend. They welcomed new president Andrés Manuel López Obrador, who was sworn in on Saturday.
Presidente! Presidente! Presidente!
López Obrador made exactly 100 promises of what he would accomplish during his six-year presidential term. They touched on everything from education to the war on drugs and cross-border trade.
Leaders from Arizona traveled to Mexico City for ceremonies over the weekend, and that included Governor Doug Ducey and Phoenix Mayor Thelda Williams. She says she heard from members of the ruling party who say they want to improve business between the two countries.
Work very closely with America and especially the border states, including Arizona. I'm very optimistic.
And here's a clip of the inauguration when the president, nicknamed AMLO, spoke about his plans for U.S. outreach.
En California, en Nuevo México, en Arizona, en Texas, y en esa zona vamos a aumentar desde el día primero de enero al doble.
And López Obrador there is saying that he will create a free trade zone along the border to encourage people to stay working in Mexico instead of crossing north. But of course, for a much better translation of that clip, as well as analysis of what AMLO might mean for Arizona and beyond, we're joined now by KJZZ's Mexico City Bureau Chief, Rodrigo Cervantes in Mexico City. Good morning.
Good morning.
And with him is senior field correspondent Jorge Valencia.
Hey, Lauren.
So, Jorge, let's start with you. You were there at the swearing-in. What was the atmosphere like on Saturday?
Well, in downtown Mexico City, in the Zócalo, in the main square, there was a lot of optimism. I was there for a few hours. I met a couple dozen people. And these were the diehard Andrés Manuel López Obrador fans. They were waving flags with his face on it. Of course, there were a lot of people with Mexican flags. But as one might expect for the inauguration of a new president in any country, there was a lot of optimism.
Rodrigo here. And to really dive into what López Obrador, or AMLO, as people call him, what his election means, we've got our panel here in Mexico City. And welcome to José Andrés García. He represents the city of Phoenix in Mexico City. José Andrés.
Good morning.
And we also have Amy Glover. She is CEO of Spaceside, a public affairs consulting firm. And she's also a dual citizen of the U.S. and Mexico. Hello, Amy.
Good morning.
Amy, so let's start with you. And let's start with an issue that we've been hearing, or our listeners in the U.S. have been hearing about a lot over the last couple of months. And it is the migrant caravan that traveled from Honduras to Tijuana over the last 2 months. What do you expect López Obrador will do with this issue of migration and through migration from Central America going through Mexico to the United States?
Well, López Obrador just signed an agreement with several of the countries of Central America to have a plan for how to look at development in those countries to avoid more migration. I think that's going to be front and center on the discussions with the U.S. in terms of how to handle this. It's obviously a very sensitive issue, particularly because President Trump tweets about it frequently. So I think that'll be probably a source of friction between the U.S. and Mexico, and it'll be difficult to figure out how to handle it. We have to keep in mind, too, that migration from Mexico has been net zero for 10 years now. So I think there's a misperception on the part of some Americans regarding who these people are.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, as some people here have put it, Mexico is the wall. Mexico makes a part in basically slowing down migration to the United States from many other places.
And speaking of borders and the relationship that exists with the United States, José Andrés, the U.S., Mexico, and Canada just signed a new free trade agreement. This is replacing NAFTA. We also heard President López Obrador addressing this issue during his inauguration. And a handful of business leaders from Arizona and from the city of Phoenix came down for the inauguration. What do you think are the main expectations or concerns for López Obrador's administration on trade?
Well, I think the process has been effectively taken forward in the past 18 months. Of course, after the action that took place during the G20 in Argentina, the signing between the three parts, we're facing a more secure era where we know an agreement is coming. Of course, President Trump, before going back to the United States, mentioned that he has a faculty of stepping off the current NAFTA, and by that way, putting some pressure on the Senate and the House of Representatives that after January 20th, he's not going to control over the acceptance or the approval of the new USMCA. No, so the first the challenge here will be to get all the parts in their position. We've heard some of the Democrats speaking in terms of the areas that have always been of critical for them in terms of wages. We've heard Sherrod Brown, Senator Sherrod Brown from Ohio, talking about his what he sees in terms of wages and what we've been hearing in the past weeks due to GM's plans to shut down some facilities in North America and how that's going to affect American workers. So everything is not done. There's still a lot of lobbying that has to happen. And we have to talk with congressional districts that are critical for the USMCA to go forward in order for them not to kind of lie back and let something not happen as we think it will.
Well, Jose Andres, to pick up on what perhaps may be said to those members of Congress, right, which is where this hinges on, right, basically whether or not the House of Representatives is going to approve this. What you do in your day-to-day, a lot of what you do is you help businesses in Arizona or who want to do business here in Mexico or businesses in Mexico that want to make investments in Arizona. Certainly, the last year and a half when there was uncertainty, that was not very good because people couldn't make long-term investments. So what can you say about how important it is to have this sort of certainty to know at least what the rules of the game are in order for that commerce to take place?
Well, the first part is the certainty that we're going to have is going to still take some time to fall on the table and know what the conditions are going to be. I think on the position from the Mexican government, it's going to be important to have the counterbalances. We had a meeting with one of the Morena senators from Sonora, and he was pretty positive on how the public sector, well, him on the private sector, the public sector, sorry, will balance that, those expectations.
And we are having a special broadcast from KJZZ's Mexico City Bureau. We're here with Jose Andres Garcia, who represents the city of Phoenix in Mexico, and Amy Glover, who is a political analyst and columnist here. And Amy, we're talking about trade. We're talking about the relationship with the United States. López Obrador addressed trade in a very particular way. On one hand, he said he embraces the ties with the United States, with Canada. But he was also very strong against neoliberal policies, which at the end includes free trade, right? What does this mean?
I think we have to take it into the context of who he's speaking to. And in the speech, he's speaking to Mexicans and to the frustration of many here that there hasn't been enough done to address inequalities in the country. So I think neoliberalism can mean whatever you want it to mean, and it really is pretty irrelevant. Fortunately, if you look at what has been going on in terms of substance, there's no questioning of NAFTA in Mexico. Mexicans are less protectionist than Americans, ironically. I mean, it's Donald Trump who's leading the charge in terms of putting up barriers to trade, tariffs, and whatnot. So I think, you know, if you look at some of the people who are in this new government, the Undersecretary for Trade, Luz Maria de la Mora, is, you know, a very serious economist who understands very well how the global economy works. I think it's going to be important for people in the private sector who have an understanding of global dynamics to help inform the policy of the government as well. I think there is a bit of a risk that we could be too insular in our thinking here in Mexico. I think that's a global trend, unfortunately, and I think it's something that from a private sector and civil society perspective, we need to continue to opine and provide some thoughts on. I think also, too, Mexico has to diversify its markets away from the U.S. and Canada, without a doubt.
Well, so I wanted to pick up on something that is somewhat related to this. I mean, it has to do with spending. López Obrador has promised an austere administration. He made a big show out of moving out of the presidential estate in Los Pinos, in this very beautiful estate in a park, to a more modest quarters in the heart of the city. And he says he's going to get rid of corruption, which is one of the main issues that he brought up during his campaign, one of the main issues that bogs down the country. Jose Andres, in your work, in any way, have you seen that corruption has interfered with business or discourages business and how we do work between Mexico and Arizona?
Well, I think there's different types of corruptions and corruption and different levels to where this happens. I was recently with some of the mayors from Arizona, and they were talking to me a little bit about the collaboration that they have with the Sonora and the different municipalities in Sonora. And some of this happens when you can have a fire truck that a city is donating to, let's say, Rocky Point, and Customs Authority is not letting the vehicles come in even when they're being donated. And you hear a little bit about how the Mexican Customs authorities ask for money in terms of letting something in. I think it's the different types of corruption and the way you need to manage it. Obviously, there are AAA corporations in Mexico from the United States and specifically from Arizona that know that this can happen, but on the contrary, know the way they approach. And even when they hear something, they know that they can go to the embassy, report some type of these alleged or incorrect actions, and something can happen. So it's not a motive for which economic activity between both parts will be disincentivized.
And Amy, we're talking about the border. We're talking about corruption. I guess it's natural also to talk about national security, which is also one of the most important and controversial proposals coming from the López Obrador administration. He says he's going to make a new National Guard. What does that mean? He says he's going to include some members of the military and the police, for instance. Do you think this will really change anything on security here in corruption and particularly on the so-called war on drugs?
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting that he chose to announce that. And I thought it was also interesting and worrisome, of course, that he felt once he had the full brief in terms of what the security situation really is in various states, he felt the need to take this measure. I thought it was a pretty gutsy measure for him to take, largely because many in his base don't agree with it. And many on the left do not want to have a National Guard. Why is this important? Mexico has been struggling with establishing an effective federal police force for decades, and it hasn't worked, basically. So it's unfortunate to have to use the military for civil peace and protection. But, you know, if there is a threat to the sovereignty of the Mexican state, obviously you have to step in and look at this. From what I understand from the context that I've spoken to, members of the military are okay with this decision. I think the concern is that it's hasn't been discussed as a temporary measure, but rather a permanent one, and I think that still has to be discussed. You can create a National Guard and use that as a policing force internally, but the idea should always be to pass on that authority to a civil police force.
Certainly, this is something that I could certainly talk about all day, but regrettably, this is where we have to leave it at for now. We're just about out of time. We've been speaking with Amy Glover, CEO of Spaceside Public Affairs Consulting Firm here in Mexico City, also a dual citizen of the U.S. and Mexico, and Jose Andres Garcia, who represents the city of Phoenix here in Mexico. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And thanks to Rodrigo Cervantes and Jorge Valencia and your guests for that analysis from Mexico City. You are listening to the show here on KJZZ.